Well, I almost forgot to turn on the microphone this morning. having such a great conversation, just picking up the phone with my with my old and dear friend Joe Carbone. He's president and CEO at The Workplace, and as you have heard from the many visits that he's had with us here at the award winning For the People, this organization is really, really a premier agency developing a well-educated, well-trained, and self-sufficient workforce that can confidently compete in today's changing global marketplace. Joe and his team are the are one of the quintessential organizations that either through luck and or talent tend to skate to where the puck is going to be in the big hockey game of workforce development. And he continues to stay on the cutting edge, as is evidenced in the recent grant that he received that is going to address both mental health challenges and workforce development. We're going to talk all about that along with a number of other great things. They've got a great partnership going with Dress for Success and a big event coming up in May we can probably talk about. Joe, great to hear your voice. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. And as always, I've been on your show many times, but it always creates a base of calls that will come in the next week from people that heard it and want to know more about it. So your listeners do respond, and that's what we want. So, you know, thank you for the great show that you've been doing for so many years.
Very, very, very long time. Yes, it'll be 34 years this year.
Yes.
So we've both been doing things we are passionate about, maybe even our calling for all these years. But we're going to get into talking about this fabulous Cigna Group Foundation grant in just a few minutes. But, you know, to lead up to it, how are your most tried and true programs doing over the past year or so since we last talked?
I think they're doing well. But I think there's something else happening out there that, you know, we've had the most vibrant economic period in our lifetime. We in Connecticut have had unemployment at 4 points or maybe 4.1, 4.2 at the most for 4 years, not for 4 weeks or 4 months, but for 4 years. We're the sixth oldest state in the nation, average age. Our population is not growing, and we've got a massive housing challenge that's, I think, is really causing that. But all of that tells me that it's a time for real opportunity, that, you know, despite the enormity of the challenges and things that no workforce unit can really control, that moving people into exciting jobs and careers, I think, will have its social benefits and will help the region to have a sufficient number of workers available for jobs and available for learning to keep the economy moving strong. So it's an exciting moment, and a bit scary sometimes with some of our challenges, but it's an exciting moment if you want to change lives, not just get somebody a job,
right,
but change lives. It is now.
Yep.
And we're fortunate to be here and in an actual position where we can be part of it.
Yeah. And just speaking of changing lives, I mean, you've pipelined and positively changed the lives of thousands of folks coming out of incarceration situations over the decades. And I dare say, you know, it is a fractional number of those thousands who may have, you know, fallen back on their old ways. It is a vibrant segment of the workforce, maybe even a little bit more grateful than anyone else to have a job and a career thanks to the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to some extent, by the way, that the worker shortage that we have had now for the last 4 or 5 years, and getting worse every year, has, I think, relieved a lot of the restrictions that in the past might have made it difficult for someone who has a record to get into the workforce. A lot of that has changed. Now, we created a program, Platform to Employment Reentry, about 6 years ago. And we have a recidivism rate of under 2 points, which is the number one in the country. Nobody, there isn't anybody in the employment business for reentry population that can actually say that. But using the framework of Platform to Employment, which we created for the long-term unemployed during the Great Recession, because of that, we're experiencing great success at both enrollment and placement. And I think equally important, the rate of recidivism under 2 points is magnificent. So I think we're making progress there.
Yeah, and it is not false praise when I say something like an agency being ahead of its time. We are, as you said, we're enjoying a fabulous kind of growth atmosphere here in terms of work and careers. But you saw a decade and a half ago, maybe almost nearly two decades ago, the value of the second or even third career worker. You've been able to help individuals in their 40s and 50s and 60s and even beyond find a gainful employment or a career calling that they may have ever experienced before. And now the sun has come out and the older members of our communities are beginning to be kind of, you know, you talk about the golden girls and the golden guys. Right. Yeah. These are huge assets to our workforce now.
They're not just assets. I mean, I tell you that we have been talking for some time about the fact that we have the sixth or seventh oldest average age population in the entire country. Well, that tells us that fewer of them in that age group need to retire, that employers need to have some alternative where they're semi-retired, things of that sort. But we can't afford, from an economic standpoint, we cannot afford just watch this group of people that have got, you know, years of experience and they've got knowledge and, you know, proprietary knowledge from the employers that they work for. There needs to be options for them to work on their terms, but not leave the workforce. Right about now, the greatest threat that Connecticut has to continue this period of prosperity is whether or not we can assemble a workforce that employers will need or that can stop it. So it's one of those rare moments where it's in the public interest and the employer's interest. It's like, you know, self-interest, really to get things done. So I'm confident that this period of prosperity is going to continue for some time. And I can't see the end of it. So it's going to, I think, continue for a long time.
Yeah.
But the challenge is on our side with respect to workforce, that is clearly the singular most important issue that needs to be addressed, or this period of prosperity can come to an end.
Right, right. So, especially when you look at the other end of the spectrum and how now agencies like the workplace really have to start thinking about workforce members when they're in middle school. And you guys have done such a great job helping to impress upon not just young people, but more importantly, their parents and their influencers to move into this arena of manufacturing and advanced manufacturing. You've got the partners on the academic end there in Bridgeport and the greater Bridgeport area. You've got the partners in the industry end. And now, just this week, as we're interviewing you, we get the news that the submarine industry that has put Connecticut on the map on a global scale will be tooling up to the tune of another 5,000-7,000 jobs in the next 5 years. That's got to be something that's looming large on your radar.
It's got to be. Because actually, I mean, if we can't grow population, we have a problem with that. And just finding enough of people to meet the great demands if they have an electric boat. But it's not just them. There's a lot of other employers, not necessarily employers that are dealing with defense matters, but where they make other things. I mean, it could be chips. It could be a whole variety of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the shortage is really catching on. and kind of affecting their level of production and movement. So it's incumbent upon all of us who are in this business of workforce development, education, or whatever, to have that in mind. And let me raise one more sector of the market. 4 years, when I first came to the workplace, I one time had a superintendent of schools, a major school district in my region. And he said to me, he said, if I encourage kids to go to the voc tech schools, then I have missed my calling. My job is to get them to go to college, a four-year college. And I was so short-sighted because, you know, there's nothing wrong with working with your hands if you're a carpenter, you're a plumber, sure, electrician, or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. And right about now, because of all those years of kids being told it's not good for you, we've got a shortage, a severe shortage. Right. And you know what it's done? If you're an electrician, you could be making $200,000 a year. Plumber, you can make that. Major contracts for construction work, yep, are out there. And whether or not you have a sufficient number of people that can work on those projects can affect the future of those projects. But the bottom line here is that this was a school district, and it would have been Bridgeport, actually, when that superintendent told me that. And it was a year in which nearly half the class had dropped out. So what was better? What was better, to close your eyes about the voc tech schools if that's the way you feel? I never felt that way, but if that's the way you feel, close your eyes and let the kids kind of gravitate to where they feel most comfortable.
Yeah.
So we got to do something about that, because we've got lots of construction going on in our region and much more that is planned. But in every field, they've got to bring in new talent, new people. Because we have a shortage.
Yeah. Well, one of the other areas you have been a champion on at the workplace is with veterans. And now we have this wonderful news of a $150,000 grant from the Cigna Group Foundation to establish the Veterans Health Employment and Housing Center out of the workplace. This is going to truly be a new and innovative operation that really works at the intersection of veterans issues, workforce issues, mental health, addiction, recovery. This is going to be a game changer down in the greater Bridgeport area.
Yeah, I think so. And let me just add one more caveat to that, which is housing.
Yes.
So there's a lot of folks that either because of their mortgages or their rent that are right now subject of a major problem. So you put employment and you put housing and you put mental health in the same category. Mental health is much wider and much more challenging than I think most people recognize. Maybe because certain parts of it are called, you know, different names or whatever, but nonetheless, it's a problem out there. And I think it's sinful. These are men and women that have fought for this country, that made sacrifices so that we can all live free and live well. And yet they come back, and the level of homelessness, unfortunately, of suicide. I mean, these are real problems that veterans face. Yeah. So with this grant, I mean, because we're doing some work already on veterans, but this grant provides a mechanism to coordinate their efforts, for us to enter into contracts that will deal directly with mental health issues. We can pay the rent. We can pay the mortgage if we have to. But we can also be a source of virtually information as your problem is A, B, C, or D. We can consult. We can have a veteran come in and say, okay, we know every possible program that's out there that can help. What is your problem? And you start there, and then we can. This is for 1 year, and I think it's going to be renewable, and it may be renewable at a much higher level than this. But this is going to enable us to do a profile of every person that comes in, and begin to create a plan for their recovery. Now that is not going on now, but that will go on with this grant. We can do 100 people over a 12-month period. I think it's going to make a difference. Because one of the things that I think causes a problem is when a veteran comes in and they'll tell you, well, you need to call here, go here for this issue. You need to call here and go here for this issue. A lot of folks just walk away from that. So by having the totality of the charge in front of you, I think will make a difference. And I think it'll make a better relationship with a lot of the both organizations and or for-profit companies that provide a service. Because they'll see the totality of a plan.
Yeah.
Not just things that are fragmented out there, but the totality of the plan. So we've got a lot of professionals that can help them with that and do that. But this grant makes it very clear as to what it's for, and it will sharpen up our ability in those three areas really to get major things done.
Yeah. What is your ideal goal for opening the doors, so to speak?
Well, the doors are open, but it's going to get more and more intense. I think by very early summer, we're going to see a lot of folks come through this program, and they're going to have a caseworker, and they're going to have, we'll provide a profile of what their charges are, what things that they need to get done, and they'll meet their worker. The worker will get to know them, and from that, I think the services are going to be improved.
That's great.
And the chances of a full recovery, which is the objective here, chances of that will be significantly higher.
Fantastic. In the last 2 minutes I've got with you, Joe, I did also want to touch upon this wonderful partnership you're highlighting on your website, which is the workplace.org, and that is the partnership with Dress for Success.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, we have been managing this project in Fairfield County and now in New Haven County as well for a good number of years. And we collect clothing that is donated. In some cases, we have to buy some things. But when a person reaches a point where they now can go out for interviews, they got to be dressed in a way that makes them feel important, that makes them feel like, I'm not dressed any different than anybody else who's out there looking for the job. But I need to feel the confidence that comes with being dressed appropriately. So we have helped, I think, thousands of people in the last 15 years that we've been doing this to actually have to be able to come to a showroom that we have on Fairfield Avenue, pick out the clothing for interviews, and actually get the job. I mean, this is a fundraiser we're going to do that I think you made some reference to.
Yes.
We've been doing that once a year, and we have a great speaker all the time. And usually women who have come through the program and have had success from it, but it has made such a difference with so many people.
Yeah.
One of the things I will tell you I give the highest grades to, Dress for Success, for women and very soon, I think, much more for men as well.
That's great. The event that we're talking about is Empower Her, and it's coming up May 12th at the Boca Oyster Bar in Bridgeport.
That's right.
And you can get more information about that, as well as learning how you could get involved with Dress for Success as a volunteer, as a clothing donor. You can make a financial contribution. You can host your own company or organization-wide suit or accessory drive, become a referral agency, all kinds of great ways to get involved with that. And to do so, you can go to the place where you can also learn all about the programs we've been talking about over these past 20 minutes. With Joe Carbone at The Workplace. It's workplace.org, and Joe is their president and CEO. Always great to chat with you, Joe, and thank you so much for your time today. And,
it was my pleasure.
Yeah, and best of luck with this new program. I can't wait to hear more about it.